I'm not giving up. Oh, and I'm not turning round. By the grace of God, I'm gonna wear the shining crown someday, and I'll keep holding on. Oh, to that nail-scarred hand. I'm not giving up. No, I'll keep going on. Oh, I'm not giving up. I'm not turning around. By the grace of God, I'm gonna wear the shining crown someday, and I'll keep holding on. Oh, to that nail-scarred hand. I'm not giving up. No, I'll keep going. Giving up, and I'm not turning round. By the grace of God, I'm gonna wear the shining crown someday, and I'll keep holding on. Oh, to that nail-scarred hand. I'm not giving up. No, I'll keep going on.
Give the Lord a hand clap of praise tonight. Amen. How many can say that's your testimony tonight? We're not giving up. We're not turning around. We can't give up. Amen. Because something that deep down inside keeps holding on. Amen. Aren't you so glad? Turn around and tell somebody tonight, I'm not giving up. Shake their hand if you're brave enough. Amen. Let's sing a little more of that tonight. Amen. Go ahead. Let's sing some more of that.
Oh, I'm not giving up. Oh, and I'm not turning round. By the grace of God, I'm gonna wear that shining crown someday, and I'll keep holding on. Oh, to that nail-scarred hand. I'm not giving up. No, I'll keep going on. Oh, I'm not giving up. Oh, and I'm not turning round. By the grace of God, I'm gonna wear the shining crown someday, and I'll keep holding on. Oh, to that nail-scarred hand. I'm not giving up. No, I'll keep going. Oh, sing it one more time. Oh, I'm not giving up. And I'm not turning round. By the grace of God, I'm gonna wear that shining crown someday. To that nail-scarred hand, I'm not giving up. No, I'll keep going on.
Amen. You can be seated this evening. Amen. We've got quite a few prayer requests. First, we want to welcome a brother Wilbert from London, England tonight. Where might he be in the service with us? Amen. Just like to welcome him with us tonight. Amen. Appreciate him being with us tonight. Let's just listen to these needs as we read over them tonight. Want to please pray for Sister Vicki Tidwell, having some blood cell count issues in her body. So we certainly want to remember her in our prayers tonight. Amen. Sister Vicki just been battling sickness for some time. Want to please remember Brother Gary Hara. He's sick, fevered, and unable to be in church tonight. We want to lift him up before the Lord. Sister Linda Phillips has been sick for several days, has a bad cough, requesting prayer and desires to be in the house of the Lord in the morning. So let's just ask the Lord to touch her body. Amen. To give her the desires of her heart. Amen. I want to remember Sister Linda in prayer. I've been in a lot of pain lately. Says thank you, Sister Janet Kennedy. So we certainly want to remember that need. Also, Simone Phillips turns this request in. Please pray for a steel worker from Ukraine in Rochester, New York. While talking to him about the Lord, the man tells that he's Pentecostal and his wife has stomach cancer. Says a prophecy was given to her in Ukraine that when enough people would pray, the cup would be overflowing, she'd be healed. And he's asked for the church to please remember his wife in our prayers. Amen, that the Lord would touch your body. Said the gentleman was crying while he was talking to him. His wife's name, I believe, is Galena. So we want to remember her in our prayers tonight. Amen. I know the Lord's mindful of that need. Also want to remember Brother John Taylor request prayer for his two oldest daughters, Jennifer and Emily. Jennifer's experiencing a reoccurring problem. She has severe clinical depression, negatively impacting everything in her life. Says she's also received a diagnosis of ovarian cyst, fibroid tumors, and endometriosis. The last one is very bad. It's the fifth occurrence in the last 14 years. Says she's already had four major surgeries, two of them emergencies. She's in a lot of pain all the time. Said they're both Christians, and they both pray a lot. So please ask the Lord to be mindful of that need tonight. So we want to remember the two daughters there. Continue to remember prayer for a complete healing and recovery of Brother Harvey. He says he came home today, so we certainly want to thank the Lord for bringing Brother Harvey home safe. Amen. Also want to remember Sister Peggy Kirkpatrick, her daughter from Missouri. She has a severe toothache that's in the nerve in her tooth, so we want to remember that request. Also, Brother and Sister Baker would like to praise the Lord for his divine healing. It says, thank you all for your prayers. We're both in service tonight. Amen. So we certainly want to thank the Lord for bringing them tonight to the service. Amen. If you would, just stand to your feet. Brother Rob Weber, would you come this evening and take these requests before the Lord for us in prayer? How many has a need on your heart tonight? Amen.
Let's pray. Dear Lord, we come to you for rest. Lord, rest from the day, rest from this world. Lord, we enter into your rest. Lord, we're so thankful for the Holy Ghost, and we're thankful that we can come and pray and come before you with the requests that have been made, Lord. There's sickness in the land, and I pray, Lord God, that you'd look this way. Look this way and heal your people. I pray, Lord God, your life is just so precious to us as we learn more and more daily about you, Lord, a personal walk, step by step, Lord. Where should we go? Where else can we go? Father, you have the words of eternal life, and we're so thankful, Lord. We raise these prayer requests up in faith, believing that you will move, Lord, according to your divine will and plan. And we thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to come before you. It is precious in our eyes. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Let's just sing this little song tonight. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that's going to be. Amen. You believe that tonight? Let's just sing that little chorus as the brothers would come and lift the evening offering.
We'll sing the wondrous love of Jesus, sing his mercy and his grace in the mansions bright and blessed. He'll prepare for us a place. So when we get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be when we all see Jesus. We'll sing and shout the victory. Oh, while we walk the pilgrim pathway, clouds will overspread the skies. Oh, but when traveling days are over, not a shadow, not a sigh. Oh, when we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be when we all see Jesus. trust in serving every day. Oh, just one glimpse of Him in glory will the tolls of life repay. Oh, when we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. Oh, so onward to the prize before us. Soon His beauty will be home. Soon the pearly gates will open. We shall tread the streets of gold. Oh, when we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. My Jesus, my Savior, Lord, there is none like You. All of my days I long to praise the wonders of Your mighty love. My comfort, You're my shelter, tower of refuge and strength. Let every breath, all that I am, never cease to worship You. Oh, shout to the
sing that one more time.
Oh, shout to the Lord, all the earth, let us sing.
The Lord tonight. Amen. Amen. There is nothing that compares, amen, to the promises in Him tonight. Sister Sarah, would you make your way? Let's just sing the little chorus. I will praise the Lord. I will praise the Lord no matter what tomorrow may bring. Amen. Let's sing that little chorus as she comes to get ready tonight.
Oh, I will praise the Lord. I will praise the Lord no matter what tomorrow brings or what it has in store. I will praise the Lord.
One more time.
Oh, I will praise the Lord. I will praise the Lord. No matter what tomorrow brings or what it has in store, I will praise.
You can be seated tonight.
Don't start down now. God's never gonna let you down. Don't let fear and worry rob you of the joy you found. Just look how far you come. Everything that He saved you from. You're too close to home to turn around. Don't start doubting now. When burdens get a hold on you, you reach for faith to hold on to. But this time you can't take it any longer. You say this trial's the worst one yet, but God's still there, so don't forget. He's brought you through and made you stronger. Don't start doubting now. God's never gonna let you down. Don't let fear and worry rob you of the joy you found. Just look how far you've come. Everything that He saved you from. You're too close to home to turn around. Don't you remember when, in the middle of a raging wind, Peter stepped out on that stormy water? His eyes was on his master's face, but he got scared and looked away, and that kept him from going any farther. Don't start doubting now. God's never gonna let you down. Don't let fear and worry rob you. Joy you found. Just look how far you come. Everything that He saved you from. You're too close to home to turn around. Don't too close to home to turn around. Don't start doubting now. You're too close to home to turn around. Don't start doubting now.
Hey man, let's just stand to our feet tonight. Certainly appreciate that song. Amen. Let's just sing this little chorus or this song tonight. Amen. As our pastor comes. Amen. How many's looking forward? Amen. To what the Lord has in store for us tonight. Amen. This is better than any I like ribeyes. So this is better than any ribeye steak you can go get in any restaurant. Amen. Let's just feast upon the word tonight. Amen. Sing that, Brother Harry.
You ask me how it is that I'm still standing. Wonder how I made it through the storm. I can't boast of any special powers. There's no secret, I just held on. I held on till the storm was over. Finally happening. I've got blessings I can call my very own. Many times I wondered if I would make it, but while I was wondering, my seed just kept holding on. 'Cause I held on. But I held on till the storm was over. Not because I'm good, not because I'm great, not because I'm strong, but I held on till the storm was over.
Thank you, Father.
I don't claim to be a hero. I don't have all life's answers. Not because I'm good, not because I'm great, not because I'm strong, but I held on.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Aren't you glad God gives you strength? Praise the Lord. I wonder how many would like to be remembered before the Lord in prayer tonight. Amen. Jim Whitson just come back on the study there before I came out and said that Sister Vicki Tidwell had to be taken to the hospital. Her fever has spiked, I guess, sometime this afternoon, just a little bit ago. And they want us to be praying for her. Let's take her and your needs to the Lord as well. Heavenly Father, we approach you tonight, Lord Jesus, with thanksgiving in our hearts. We love you so much. We thank you that you've given us the strength and the grace, Lord, to be able to stand in this day. We're so proud in our spiritual sense to be identified as the people of God. Lord, you see this need of Sister Vicki, Father, hearing from Brother Terry, Lord, yesterday, and the white blood count being abnormal and different things there, Lord, and then something apparently has happened today. Well, we're just asking you, Father, right now in the name of Jesus. You see our sister's need, and you know what's happened to her, Father. We're asking you, Lord, You said in your word, if any two on earth agree as touching anything, it shall be done. Again, it's written, delight thyself also on the Lord, and he will give thee the desires of thine heart. Again, it's written, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, then ask what you will. Heavenly Father, we're asking you tonight, Lord. You saw the hands that were uplifted here in the building, Lord. They signified a need or needs. We're asking you for them as well. Lord, you see these multiple prayer calls that I have my hands on tonight, Lord, that I'm going to preach with. I pray, Lord Jesus, that your anointing would just go with them. You know these needs and these requests. Father, we love you tonight. We love you, Lord Jesus, that you're so mindful of us that we can come to you, Lord. As we approach your word, oh great, mighty one, would you speak to us once again tonight, Father? I've done all I know to do. I've studied and I've prayed and I've looked at these things and re-looked at them again and again. I pray you'd help me. May you just help me to get out of the way, that you can be able to speak these love words to your beloved. Grant it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. How many is happy to be in the house of the Lord? Let's turn, if you would, to the Song of Solomon, chapter 3, verse 6. How many wants to be an overcomer by the grace of the Lord? We're going to need the Lord to help us tonight and tomorrow to be able to overcome traditions and maybe views and our own personal knowledge of ourselves, to be able to take what he says. I don't know if you remember it or not, but by inspiration, I told you several years ago, one of the greatest challenges that you was going to face was to be able to believe what God said about you above what you know about yourself. I believe that's still true myself. Song of Solomon, chapter 3, verse 6. Who is this that cometh out of the wilderness like pillars of smoke, perfumed with myrrh and frankincense, with all powders of the merchant? Behold his bed, which is Solomon's. 70 valiant men are about it, of the valiant of Israel. They all hold swords, being expert in war. Every man hath his sword upon his thigh, because of fear in the night. King Solomon made himself a chariot of wood of Lebanon. May the Lord bless his word. You may be seated. We know that scripture has a compound meaning, and it can have compound applications. Last Sunday we looked at this as the trip from where the bride was from on her journey to now marry Solomon. And I truly believe that is a reflection of part of this, but I would like to look at it a little extension of that by the help of the Lord tonight. Notice this again. Brother Branham says all scriptures has a compound, prophecies especially, has a compound meaning or a compound answer. Now let me give you an example of that so you understand where I'm coming from. Hosea chapter 11 verse 1. When Israel was a child, then I loved him and called my son out of Egypt. Matthew chapter 2 verse 15. And they was there until the death of Herod, speaking of Joseph, Mary, and Jesus, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, out of Egypt have I called my son. Now what's amazing is that Hosea actually did not prophesy this till the children of Israel were already come out of the land of Egypt. But prophecy lays, of course, in the mind of God before it's ever written down. So it only comes to sense whenever it comes in time, but yet as far as God is concerned, it's already there. He done knows that it's going to be. So out of Egypt, God called Jacob. Out of Egypt, he called Jesus. Now watch Brother Branham as he takes and applies this. How many knows the scripture has a compound meaning to every prophecy? Sure does. Yes, sir. It'll say it and mean it just exactly to this time and turn right around and repeat it again back over here somewhere. Now what? So it can say it here hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years later. It can say the same thing and be fulfilled both times in a different time frame. You understand that? Again, he says, all scripture has a compound meaning or it runs in cycles. For instance, there where it is said in Matthew, I believe it was, out of Egypt I have called my son. Now that scripture there in Matthew was referring to really what pertaining to Israel. God said, out of Egypt have I called my son. Now that scripture that Matthew was referring to really pertaining to Israel, but notice the spiritual parallel. So it applied to Israel. God called Israel out of this, and he's also going to call the Lord Jesus. So the prophet said, out of Egypt I have called my son. See how it routines back. So it can repeat itself then in cycles. Now we want to look at this tonight on the palanquin in which the bride is now being transported. And we looked at it last Sunday that it was the element of time where the Shulamite is being transported by these great men. She's going now to the King Solomon. She's going to be married to him. And he's fixing to move into chapter 4. Of course, chapter 3 is the journey where they are coming together. He's coming out of Jerusalem. He leaves his home in the palace. And she has now left her home near Lebanon, near Hermon, near all these mountaintops in the lower part of Galilee. I've stood there myself many years ago. And when you're standing there in Galilee and you look abroad and you're able to see these different mountains. So this was a natural parallel of where she's being called from. Naturally, she was being called from there. And as we looked at it, Solomon had sent his couch or his palanquin, as it was called, by these mighty men to go and get this bride. Because there was a great status difference in the social circle of where she was and where he was, Solomon himself did not go to her home, but they're going to meet between his home and her home. Praise the Lord. Amen. I'm going to forget being polite tonight. I'm just going to have a time. I don't know about you. I've come to have church. Now, in this, whenever we looked at it last week, I emphasized mainly the natural journey of the Shulamite coming, which is the form, the feminist form of Solomon. So she was coming, Miss Solomon was coming to Mr. Solomon. She was espoused and they had a lot of talking and they exchanged a lot of pleasantries in the time of the engagement and the espousal. But now she's on her way to become his wife, his sister, as he called her. And now there she's in her journey. And we know spiritually that once we have been baptized into the body of Christ by the baptism of the Holy Ghost, that we are not actually going to our wedding. We are already wed. Right. But what we are going to is the marriage supper of the Lamb. So we've already had an invisible union. You believe that? So in that sense, whenever we go to the in the rapture, we are not going to the wedding, but we are going to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Blessed and he that hath part in the first resurrection, for on such the second death hath no power. And then he tells us in Revelation 19:7, the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife, not bride, his wife has made herself ready. Now she could not make herself bride, but she could make herself ready. Praise the Lord. So we see her then. The rapture is the culmination of the bride in this invisible union. It's her going to meet her lover, her Lord, her King. But she's already married by an invisible union. So in the natural parallel, the bride of Solomon is moving on this palanquin, which we looked at it Sunday, was a piece of furniture that was something similar to a couch, but yet something they would lay back on. It was made out of the cedar of Lebanon, which was both red and white, which symbolized the cross. It also had the element of symbol of silver in the symbol pilasters or the columns, which would have been the four columns on the side, four always the number of earthly deliverance. It also had the gold foundation or the gold floor, and then it would have a carpet of weaved of love stories as it was that would laid on top of the gold, and then around it was the 60 mighty men. Now, in the natural sense, they're carrying her to Solomon to be wed to Solomon. In the spiritual sense, it is where we are, I believe, right now. In the sense that we are on our journey, have we been united? We have. But we've not yet entered into that place to where we've seen our Lord in a physical form. How many wants to see him in a physical body? Now watch, in the sense that the bride of Christ is moved into this in the spiritual compound, watch Song of Solomon chapter 3 verse 7, behold his bed. Now they look at her and they say, who is this? Because they've not yet seen the symbol of royalty on the bed or the palanquin or the litter as it is called. But once they see that, then they identify that this girl is being carried on this royal litter or royal palanquin because they see the royal stamp. Now when they do, then their attention changes from being that it is the girl of asking who is this, and then they focus on whose bed that it is. Behold his bed, which is Solomon's. Now this within itself tells them who this is inside the bed, who it is that is being transported. Now remember, it's not a throne. She's not setting up like this. She's not sitting with her arms around the top of it, her feet flat on the floor, but it was in a reclined type of position. It signifies a position of rest. She is resting on the finished work of what her husband has done. Now, she within herself, how is she doing this? By the grace of Solomon, parallel the grace of God to you. Not because you deserve it, not because you're good enough, not because you're worthy, but because of the grace of God. Then he wants to transport her back into his presence, the posture of the body in the Old Testament, as the New Testament as well, always speaks great symbols. When you see a person kneeling, you see them on their knees, you would see them sitting. The posture of the body reflects a lot about the way they would view you and your relation to other people. So here it's very important that the bride is in this relaxed position, and she comes into the presence of the king. She's not all nervous and tore up and trying to figure out what am I going to do and how am I going to do it, but the very symbolism of the posture of her body proves that she is dependent totally upon her husband Solomon. Same with you. God don't want you and I chewing their fingernails off spiritually, worrying every day of our life, am I going to be able to make it? I hope I can. I hope I can hold on. Lay back and rest, little bride. Lay back and rest and depend upon what God has done for you. As it was told to Ruth by her mother-in-law, set still my daughter, for the man will not rest until he has completed this thing. So this is what the Lord, of course, wants us to do. Now notice this again. Behold his bed, which is Solomon's. 70 valiant men are about it, of the valiant of Israel. Now the Hebrew word here that is used for valiant is gabor, which is strong, mighty, strong men, brave men, or mighty men. Now what you notice is now gabor. These are men of a certain caliber. It does not give their height. It does not give their weight. It doesn't say anything about the color of hair or even if they had any hair. It doesn't say if they're left-handed or right-handed, but it mentions one common thing about all these men, glory to God, that every one of them have, and that is they are gabor. Now, I love this word Gabor because this is one of the redemptive names of God that you don't hear very much used. It is called El Gabor, the Mighty One. Now, the same word is used in Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 17. For the Lord your God is the God of gods and Lord of lords, a great God and mighty, Gabor, and a terrible, which regardeth not persons, nor taketh reward. Now notice, God himself is identified as Gabor. Joshua chapter 8, verse 3. So Joshua arose and the people of war to go up against Ai, and Joshua chose out 30,000 men of Gabor, valor, and sent them away by night. Judges chapter 6, verse 12. Now the angel of the Lord speaking to Gideon. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. You imagine little Gideon looking around and said, who, me? You talking about me? So you see, God saw something about Gideon that Gideon did not see or know about himself. Now, no doubt what God saw was in the future yet to be. And the angel was speaking to Gideon, a sermon title, Things That Are To Be. Now Gideon was not maybe as that great valor that he should be yet, but the potential of value character and valiant character was already in him. So Gideon said, my, I'm the least of my family, I'm the least of the tribe, what in the world is in me? And the angel said, oh no, you are a mighty man of valor. Amen. Oh, wouldn't it be wonderful if God thought that about you? Ruth chapter 2 verse 1. And Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth. Amen. Mighty Gabor. So here is Boaz, who is also Gabor. A mighty man, quite something to say for an 80-year-old man. And Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth. Now remember, Ruth was a young woman, and she's going to marry the Ancient of Days. Glory. Of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. 1 Samuel chapter 16 verse 18. Then answered one of the servants and said, behold, I have seen a son of Jesse, the Bethlehemite, that is cunning in playing and a mighty valiant man, a man of war, prudent in manners and a comely person, and the Lord is with him. What did I tell you, buddy? I'm not sure you could say anything better about anybody. I want you to listen to them complimentary things. He is cunning in playing, which meant a musician, and he was a mighty valiant man and a man of war, prudent in manners, and a comely person, and the greatest of them all, and the Lord is with him. Amen. Now, notice this, how that this runs through the scripture, that God always points out these type of men to do special things. Now, if Solomon is going to send 60 men, valiant men, after his sweetheart, he wouldn't want cowards, he would not want men that were yellow, he would not even send men that were not willing to risk their life for this bride. Think it's strange, if you will. I don't think it is. I think it's a parallel. 60 men were gathered around this palanquin as they are bringing her back to Solomon. 600,000 Israelites set around the tabernacle of God in the Old Testament. Hallelujah! 600,000 divided by fours. Here they are, 60 valiant men divided by fours, facing the north, the south, the east, the west. Amen. As they sat around the tabernacle of God, the north, the south, the east, the west. What are they doing? They are guarding the temple of God. Amen. They are God's bodyguards. Oh, hallelujah. What are these 60 valiant men guarding? They are guarding Solomon's temple. Hallelujah. His
his wife to be. Not the house of God to worship, but here is where Solomon will find his rest. Here is where Solomon will find his communion and his fellowship. And he sent these men to guard his wife's body. Oh, glory. 2 Samuel 23:15. And David longed and said, "Oh, that one would give me drink of the water of the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate." And the three mighty men break through the host of the Philistines and drew water out of the well of Bethlehem that was by the gate and took it and brought it to David. Nevertheless, he would not drink thereof. And he poured it out unto the Lord. And he said, "Be it far from me, O Lord, that I should do this. Is not this the blood of the men that went in jeopardy of their lives?" Therefore, he would not drink it. These things did these three mighty, same word, Gabor. Amen. Brother Bam said, David here is a type of Christ. Bethlehem, because Christ is David's son. Here he's standing here crying for a drink of that water, and his desire was a command. I said to those who loved him, three of those men pulled their swords and fought 15 miles. 15 miles of men down to that city, while others fought keeping. They were gallant fighting men. Those Philistines, twice their size. My, some of them. But they were men, gallant, who could fight. One of them slew, stood alone one hand and killed 800 men. Good Lord, I want them to be on my side. Them old boys that make bad enemies, I'm telling you. Oh my, can you imagine David out there and fighting in hot and dry? All they had was a little bunch of warm water out of some goat skin. And David got to thinking of the well of Bethlehem, and no doubt how many times he'd kneeled down there at the house of God's bread. And he drawed water out of that well, and he said, "Oh, I'd love to have a drink of that water, my. And three of his mighty men said, "Did you hear what our king said? Our king said he'd like to have a fresh drink of Pentecost. Our king said he'd like to have some people who wants the baptism of the Holy Ghost, who's not afraid to worship no more, who's not afraid to pray, who's not afraid to have a real, genuine, born again experience. I say we give that to our king." I say the same thing tonight. Oh my. You imagine they've cut it way through until while some of them cut the other one, they've got the bucket of the water. Here they're fighting down through these miles of men, 7.5 miles or whatever it was down there and back, 15 total. And they're fighting men on every side, killing men, cutting their guts out, mashing them, whatever they got to do. One of them reached down and grab a hold of that bucket of water while two's holding all 400 or 500 of them. And here they come back, said, "Out of our way, you devil. Our king wants a drink. Get out of our way, you denominational, organizational spirit that tries to come around this message and tell us we don't need the Holy Ghost. Tell us we don't need to go to church. Tell us we don't need Holy Ghost-filled preachers. Out of our way or we'll cut your head off." Glory to God. Mighty men. No doubt some of their boys was now packing the temple of Solomon. I wasn't in the first generation to stand by Brother Branham when he was here. Don't get mad at me. Don't misunderstand me. If you do, tough luck. I am one of Brother Branham's sons. I'm a true son of this message. Your name ain't Branham. I ain't talking about Branham. I'm talking about Word. I am a true son of this Word. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. No, I wasn't there in Shreveport. No, I wasn't there in Jeffersonville. My identity goes farther back than Jeffersonville. I was with him in the mind of God. I was with him at Calvary. I was with him, me and him and you in Jesus Christ when he raised from the dead. I stand with him tonight as a son in the gospel. As Timothy was to Paul, so am I, so are you, so are you and your brother, sons to the message of the hour. Glory to God. 1 Chronicles chapter 11 verse 9. So David waxed greater and greater. And this is the reason why. For the Lord of hosts was with him. These also are the chief of the mighty Gabor, men whom David had, who strengthened, listen what a revelation these men had, who strengthened themselves with him in his kingdom, not against it. They found their strength in his kingdom by supporting him. Not by saying I was with David and then pulled their own little church off on the side or their own little following off on the side. Oh my, with all of Israel to make him king according to the word of the Lord concerning Israel. Psalms 24:8. Who is this King of glory? The Lord, strong and Gabor. Gabor, the Lord mighty in battle. Who better to escort the bride than sons of Gabor himself? Praise be to God. Now watch these men again. Song of Solomon chapter 3 verse 7. Behold his bed, which is Solomon's 60 valiant men's great score, which is of course 60, as you know. 60 valiant men are about it, of the valiant of Israel. These are not mercenaries. These are not men who've been paid to fight with them. They're born in of Israel. Amen. You're not paying me to preach to the bride. I am part of the bride. I'm traveling around preaching to the bride. I'm not a mercenary to this message. I am part of this message. This word is my father. Come on, children. Now watch verse 8. They all hold tape players and alcohol and cotton swabs. Brother Darrell told me the other day, he said, Brother Donnie, can you imagine? When that train accident happened to us years ago, he said, my father-in-law laying dead. My sister-in-law laid. My baby thinking they're going to die. And you tell me, play a tape. He said, I needed a God with skin on him. Do we play tapes? Absolutely we play tapes. Praise the Lord. Come on, saints. Brother Donnie, you believe in him? I sure do. I dare say there's hardly anybody here that listens to it as many as I do. I do listen to him. That's why I preach. Because I hear him say what the tapes say. When are you going to play a tape? When my boss tells me to. That's how simple it is. But there ain't no man in this message telling me when to play one. Neither is there any man telling me which one to play. I have no bishop. Woo! Glory. They all hold swords, being expert in war. Look at these men that followed David now in 1 Chronicles chapter 12, verse 33. Of Zebulun, such as went forth to battle, expert in war. With all the instruments of war. 50,000. Which could keep rank. That were not of a double heart. Now friend, to keep rank in conflict requires discipline and valor. Oh my, you've got to value your position and value the God who put you there, and you've got to be a mighty person of valor yourself. It's not hard to keep rank in a Macy's Day Parade. Come on now. It ain't hard to keep rank when you're marching down, you're in front of everybody. But when you're in the middle of war, when all hell is broke loose and the bullets is flying everywhere, to stay in rank under trouble, that's a real soldier. Let me tell you something tonight, Happy Valley. When sickness comes against you, stay in rank. When trouble comes against you, stay in rank. The devil will do everything he can to get you to break rank and run. Now run, stay in rank. This is why you don't want kingdom builders in this type of a situation. Kingdom builders can't keep rank. They always want to be on top. God ain't looking for kingdom builders. Praise the Lord. He wants bodyguards. Bodyguards. Glory to God. Notice this. My, these men, 50,000, which could keep rank. Can you imagine 50,000 men that could keep rank? 50,000 men that could keep rank. In good times, in bad times, in difficult times. So when trouble come, they didn't jump churches. When trouble come, they didn't stay home till the trouble was over and then come back. They laid with it and helped work through the trouble. When you go through difficult times in your marriage, my goodness, don't break ranks just because you're going through hard times. You're going through hard times on your job. Don't break ranks. We go through hard times at the church. Don't break ranks, deacon brothers. Don't break ranks, saints of God. Stay where God's placed you. Oh my. Oh, I'm ready for the parade. Oh, hallelujah. Now let's see, I'm right behind. Then all of a sudden somebody pulls out and go. But these men, they were valiant. And they were disciplined. And they were not of a double heart. Oh my. So they didn't say this with David, which in reality they were still with Saul. Now remember, there's a lot going on in the message. I mean during the time of Israel, whenever all this is going on, because there's still this difficulty of who the king was. And they're all trying to figure which side should they take. Should they be on David's side or Saul's side? Come on, our children, wake up. The same thing's going on in this day. There shouldn't be a question of your mind who the king is. You ought to know who he is. You ought to know his divine protocol. You ought to know, hallelujah, as God started his church, so will he end his church. He started it with Holy Ghost-filled preachers. He'll end it the same way. He started it with saints of God being born again, baptized in Jesus' name, casting out devils, raising the dead, healing the sick. He started it that way. He'll close it out the same way. First Chronicles chapter 12, verse 35, and of the Danites, expert in war, 28,600. But apparently these brothers had some problems with rank. Isn't it amazing? He doesn't say they can keep rank quite as well. Myself, I think this describes all of us. I think there's certain trials that we go through, we can stay rank. Man, we keep it. And then there's other trials we go through, we're Danites. We're not sure if it's even worth it. Oh, we're still fighting now. We're not on the devil's side now. No. We're not on the devil's side. We've not joined up ranks with them. But we just don't know if we can handle it no more. Verse 36, and out of Asher, such as one force of battle, expert in war. 40,000. Still not quite as good with rank. Boy, I'll tell you what, this sounds like the message to me. I know, friends, you don't think this is deep. I realize you don't think it's profound and all that. But if you have a desire to keep rank, you don't know how blessed you are. Now watch these Gentile warriors. All these men were not Jews. Many of the greatest are Gentiles. What's the prophet said? Those Gentile warriors, many of them, notice, they come from everywhere. But they know that that fugitive was anointed. Glory. Amen. They knew David was rejected by his own people, but they know the anointing was on him. So do we know our David, the Lord Jesus, was rejected by his own people, but loved by us. Oh, praise God. Look at these men. They pull their swords. What was it? His desire was a drink of cool water. David, what type of today? Our David Christ. We know he's called a holy roller. Jesus is called a holy roller. I've never heard that in my life. Now think of it. Have you ever heard anybody call Jesus a holy roller? Not in the Solomon form. But he's been called that in the Shulamite form. Why persecutest thou me? So who are you, Lord? I'm Jesus of Nazareth. Now by calling his bride that, they're calling him that. But we look at him and know the anointing's on him. Glory. Oh. We know he's called a holy roller. He's cuffed off to one side. A fanatic and everything, rejected by the churches. They got their creeds and things drawn up in this Christmas like they did at the first one. We know that. But we know that this word ever remains true. And it's got to be fulfilled. And the desire of Christ is for men, warriors, to stand. Listen to Brother Branham's plea. Oh, come, stand with me. I sent these quotes I'm fixing to read you about 8 preacher friends of mine today. And then I followed up with these words. I accept this challenge to pull my sword and stand by God's prophet. Oh, come, stand with me by my side. I'm standing in a terrible place. I challenge today these tapes go over the world. I challenge some man, some warrior, glory to God, who loves Jesus Christ, that knows that these things has got to be fulfilled today. Brethren, come stand by my side and pull the word of God. What about it, preacher brothers? What about it, preacher brothers that listen to this service? Are we going to back down in this age and let this and tell us what we can and cannot do? Not me. Not me. I'll draw my sword. I'll stand right by this word. Hallelujah. If it takes my life, so be it. If they throw me in jail, so be it. I will stand. Oh. Lord Jesus, Forget those old dry cisterns and stagnated denominations you're living in. Let's bring it on up, shall we? Let's forget all these man-made message things, not what the prophet of God brought. The prophet of God never brought us no denomination. It's men that followed him. And they build their own little deal. And you got to come and follow me. And come and follow me. What's it turn into? A stagnated cistern. But Jesus is looking for some men of God, warriors that'll come and be bodyguards to his bride and say, take your hand off of her, I'll remove your head. It's being said today that if preachers feel like they have something to preach, they are Dathan and Korah. Preachers that don't play tapes, they think they've got more to say than the prophet. Well, my problem with that is Brother Branham never said that. You see, it ain't the God called ministry saying Brother Branham ain't the only one. It's Brother Branham that said that. With Dathan and Korah, they was the ones that told Moses that. But in this situation, our Moses told us, I'm not the only one that's to preach. God's got men all over the world, he said, that are anointed to preach the gospel. Get out there and preach. So can you imagine now what some of the message folks want to say? I want about 60 men around here, and if they're preachers, I'm not sure that they should use them, because preachers, you know, tend to have that kind of thing about them, you know. So they pick out 60 businessmen. All yes men, of course, to headquarters. Yes, sir, yes, sir, yes, sir, yes, sir, yes, sir. I'm a yes man to headquarters, too. Just a different headquarters. Do you mind if we look inside of your little bag? Because I know that a shepherd has a script bag on his side. And he has honey, and he has lime, and he has some different things inside of there to give the sheep. So would you mind if we look inside your script bag? Well, sure, go right ahead. Go ahead. Oh, that's a funny looking. What's that? That's a pacifier. Okay. And that, Pampers. And offices. Offices? Yeah, if anybody gets mad and they're fixing to leave the church, we'll just give them another office. We'll make them the 32nd deacon in line after the 42nd trustee passes on. So, you know, we've got all these things in our script bag. You yellow-bellied coward. You ain't got no business trying to protect that bride. What do we need? Warriors. Mama. Notice Brother Ben says, oh God, I challenge some man, some warrior, who loves Jesus Christ, that knows that these things have got to be fulfilled today. Brethren, come stand by my side and pull the word of God. Forget these dry cisterns and stagnated denominations you're living in. Pull the fresh word of God. Let's give Jesus a good drink of fresh. Say it with me. Jesus is a Pentecostal as sure as the world. Not a 1906 one now, but an original. I've been told you know a man by what he drinks. A good coffee drinker can't get his day hardly started without some coffee. A chai tea guy, or a Coke guy, or a Pepsi guy, whatever more, you're known. Glory to God. Our Lord Jesus don't drink from the Baptist fountain. He does not drink from a bunch of stagnated message pools that's full of wiggle tail. He wants a fresh drink of Pentecostal water. Does anybody want to help me bring him a drink? Anybody unhappy about it willing to help me bring Jesus a fresh drink of water? Listen to this, that's his desire today. Back to original Pentecost. back to the word, it's prophesied would do so in Malachi, the fourth chapter. Return the faith of the children back to the fathers again. Who would stand this morning? Oh, you Bethlehem dwellers, I call for men, warriors, who's not afraid. Now, if this is the call, it tells me there's going to be things that's going to create fear. If not, they say, well, you don't have to worry about it because there ain't going to be nothing in your way that's ever going to bother you. I mean, there'll never be nothing to ever make you free. He said, but I want warriors. I want warriors who come and stand by my side. Brother Branham, if you're able to look over the banister of time, buddy, I wasn't there with you then, but I'm standing now. I'll tell you one thing. If I'd been there in 1214-63, it'd been hard for me to keep my seat. Hey, I'd have felt like walking up on the platform, me a little whippersnapper from Kentucky, not knowing nothing. Think, poor little idiot. Watch me. I'm a sword flying idiot. I can decapitate quicker than you can say Jack Robinson. I'd been moved, Brother David. I don't know if I could have kept my seat or not without moving. I said, well, sir, I'll tell you what. I couldn't do it then, but now is my time. Now is my time. And I say, my Jesus still wants the same kind of water. You ain't going to give my Jesus none of this old Perugia mess. You ain't going to give my Jesus none of this old return ministry water, this old deity water, this old man-made stuff. Jesus still drinks the same drink he drank on the day of Pentecost. That's original Zoe life water. Original Zoe life water. That's what Jesus drinks. I call for men, warriors, who's not afraid. I don't care if there's 800 standing on one side and 10,000 on the other. I want warriors who will come. This is what the prophet said. I want warriors who will come with me and not sit there and watch me do it, but cut a hole through that line of unbelieving Philistines. The world council has got garrisoned all around the word of God, trying to make it creeds and feed the people. There's a well, there's a fountain open in the house of David, Bethlehem. For sin and uncleanness, brother, sin is unbelief. Who warrior that can see the millennium coming? What warrior can see this great Holy Spirit come in the form of Jesus Christ, the literal body of Christ, to take over again? Stand with me. Stand by me. Let's cut a hole through this denominational creed. Now let's say what he said. Let's get in there. He's crying. Oh Lord Jesus. He's crying for a good fresh drink of Pentecostal water. Original Pentecost. 2,000 years ago, suspended up between the heavens and the earth, he said, I thirst. So they go take a spear, put a sponge on it, tip it down in the water, in the vinegar and the gall, which will help him with the pain. They reach it up to him, and when he tastes it, he won't take it. Wrong soldiers, wrong drink. Right soldiers, right drink. Oh, hallelujah! Don't put up your denomination. emotional sponge to the lips of my Lord Jesus, He will not drink your nonsense. But all saints of God, warriors of God, let's take our sponge up to the lips of the Lord Jesus. If He said, I thirst for a good Saturday night meeting, I thirst for a good Sunday morning meeting where the Holy Ghost can fall down among my people, I thirst for you to shout, I thirst for you to worship, I thirst for you to bless my name, will we give it to Him? Or will we back away because of fear? Listen at God's prophet as he says these words. Stand with me. Stand by me. Do you hear him saying, go sit down and shut up and mind your own business? He's calling for men. Then if you was the devil, what would you try to do? You try to intimidate these men who are called to stand by him so they'll shut up. But these guys don't shut too easy. Oh. Mama, notice again, paragraph 143. Oh, men of God, where's that sword? Our Lord desires a fresh drink. I don't care if it's life or death. Let's cut through this thing. Listen to this, friends. It's so hard standing by yourself. I'm calling for men to stand by me. And your brother Branham, pretty much, Brother Amos, was alone. Do you want him to still be that way? He was alone and he didn't like it. So what he called for? Men of God that would come with their sword. Lord of mercy, can you imagine if Brother Branham had ever been allowed to preach here at Happy Valley? We'd have had to take him to the Johnson City Medical Center after he got done. We'd have wore him out. He'd have went down to Brother Tim's church. They'd have wore him out. He went to Brother Mike Price church, wherever more. We would have wore him out. How he would have longed to preach to a bunch of Bethlehemites. But he had to preach to one here and there and there and there. But let me tell you something, Bethlehemite. It is time that we arise and say, we've had enough of this stuff. We have had enough. Our Jesus is King. Our Jesus is Lord. We want our Jesus to have a fresh drink of Pentecostal water, a genuine baptism of the Holy Ghost in our souls. That's all that can minister to Him. He don't want so much our emotion. He don't want just a bunch of music workers. He wants the Holy Ghost in you, the Holy Ghost in me, to minister back to Him. It's so hard standing by yourself. I'm calling for men to stand by me. Stand with the word. What the word says, just do the way the word said. I don't care anything else says, stay with it. That's the only thing that will cut it. Let's go to Bethlehem. You can see what they're doing. They're trying to keep the people from that. They're garrisoning more and more around that well to be sure that nobody will drink from it. Don't you see what systems out here done? Don't you see what systems inside the message are trying to do? They're trying to build their garrison around the well. Why, them Philistines, what was they doing? They was building their garrison around the very thing David wanted. But if David wants it, David will get it. If Jesus Christ wants a revival of Pentecost in His bride, He will give it. And somebody here is going to receive it. It might as well be me. It might as well be you. Lord of mercy, I've run across this week. I thought, Lord, that's exactly what all these systems have done. You can see what they're doing. They're trying to keep the people from that. They're garrisoning more and more around that well. Well, we can't do no more. It ain't for us no more. Well, it's at the end time. We can't live right no more. We can't. Don't you understand what that is? That's in Philistines. The garrison more and more around that well to be sure nobody will drink from it. Oh, warriors, pull that sword. Listen, what a peculiar statement. Let's stand for everything that sword stands for. Now, you can't pull the sword and stand for what you think the sword stands for. You got to pull the sword and stand for what the sword stands for. The word of God is quick and more powerful than a sharp two-edged sword. Oh, my. Hallelujah. Let's get to that well. Well, there's a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. Bethlehem dwellers. Look at this, what he's saying, friends. He calls this several times in this sermon, Bethlehem dwellers. So they're actually living where the well is, but not drinking from it. The well is in Bethlehem, and this is where they live, or they say they live. And yet things have got in their way. Well, some of you, it's your job, it's your in-laws, or your outlaws, or whatever more, your temper, or whatever it is that's trying to hinder you. Trying to garrison to keep you away from that well. Oh, to get you out of drink out of some old dried up goat skin. And it makes your foul, old tempered mood. I ain't going to church tonight. I'll tell you one thing. You need to grab a hold of this well. It'll turn you inside out. Notice folks who continue to drink out of an old goat skin. They're grouchy. They're bitter. They're hateful. I don't like this, I don't like that, but a worshiper comes to the house of God to worship. The temperature may not be right, the music may be a little bit loud, or it may be a little bit low, but they have come to worship. Oh, my. Bethlehem dwellers, God bless you. Let's go through. Christ wants a real church. He wants a bride. Let's cut our ways through. Get out of here. Amen. Get these creeds away. That the real drinkers might come back. Notice, come back. They've done been there before. That the real drink, Lord have mercy. I pray God gives me a sword tonight so long and so wide, it cuts every one of you free. Everything that's binding you from drinking from the presence of God, so you Bethlehem drinkers can get back and drink again. You can have your joy back, your peace back. That the real drinkers might come back and get a drink. A real, cool, Pentecostal water that once flowed from this great well. And I love these next three words. It's still flowing. You know how it is when you get hot and sweaty and you just got to have something cool. Your body temperature goes up and you go to perspiring. Y'all won't believe how good that tastes. Just keep. Oh, I know that tastes really good. Oh, but you see, there's a difference in the way you know it and the way I know it. I know it does. Brother Donnie, if you hadn't come from Pentecost, you wouldn't be so wild. If I'd been born out in the Arabian desert, I'd been wild. Because I got a hold of the same Pentecost Peter got a hold of. If I'd have been a nun or a mason or if I'd have been a who knows what, if I'd have got born again, I'd have acted this same way. This is Acts 2:38. This is the way they act. If I'd have been Episcopalian or a priest or whatever more, if you ever get the Holy Ghost really good, brother, you'll get it right and you'll act the way they did on the day of Pentecost. Them great mighty warriors without fear, they move their way through there because it was His desire. And it was His desire to have a drink from the well. Lord God, maybe we don't feel that, just that tug, but look, it's Your desire that these things be done. And You said, and John, it is behooving to us, or becoming, that we fulfill all righteousness. It's becoming to us as ministers today to see that this word is preached. To see that it's done. It's becoming to us, men of this hour that we're living in, great men in the earth today. Oh God, they're out there. Let them see it and grab the sword. You mean to tell me Brother Branham is praying that other men will see it and grab the sword? They'll grab the sword no matter what the opposition. If God be for us, oh my, who can be against you? We don't care. Jeopardizing our social living, we don't care. Jeopardizing this or that or the other. We want to get the water of life back. What is it? Overcomers? Protecting an overcomer to lead her to the overcomer. Who were these valiant men? Overcomers. Who was this woman in the palanquin? Another overcomer, and had never killed one Philistine. Overcomers leading an overcomer to the overcomer. Well, let me get it on down where you can understand it. As your bodyguard, I am an overcomer. I am leading you as overcomers to meet our overcomer. Amen. Jesus said, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. As I have overcome and sat down with my Father and His throne, glory to God. I'm going to give you the power and the authority to sit down with me and my throne, my children. Can I have a few more minutes? Notice this in a sermon entitled, God Call Man. God cannot send revival until He's got men in shape to take it. We cannot have revival until we get men. God called men. God trained men. They're so trained up in the schools of theology and education, but rugged men of faith that God has brought up in the school of His rugged training. Men who are not afraid to face the fire. Men who's come in the presence of God and knows His power and knows His omnipotence and knows His healing power. Some men that's trained to know the living God. If you need a guy that can speak French, Spanish, German, Polish, Aramaic, Greek, and Hebrew. You folks voted in the wrong guy 30 years ago. If you need a man who can speak miracles, signs, healing, wonders, and speak the word of God, you got the right man. It's up to you. Choose which language you want to hear. Oh, man. I didn't graduate from Bob Jones. Matter of fact, I didn't graduate from high school. I do have some degrees, though. HGF, Holy Ghost filled. FB, fire baptized. PST, pine sap and thicket. BIJ, baptized in Jesus' name. My, with all them degrees, I don't think I need no more, do you? But what does the world want? What does a lot of the message folks want? They want some yes man behind the pulpit that'll stand up and push play. That's an overcomer. That's a man that's protecting the body of God. Brother Bam says before we can have this revival, God has got to call out and train men. God trained men to carry this message. They don't care what the opposition is. They're willing to go to the fiery furnace in defeat. Or in the lion's den, or whatever it may be. They're ready to go because they've been in the presence of God and know that He is. Whether it's to victory or defeat, they still stand the same. Let me tell you something, friend. That's a pretty heavy thing to say right there. It's one thing, boy, when we got victory after victory after victory. But sometimes men of God's going to stand in what seems like defeat. And God will let them look defeated for years. He always proves what's right. That's the kind of training God does to men. And it's very strange to think that God would do it. But God trains His men like that. He does. As for myself tonight, I believe right now. Look at this year, 1958. God is training such men to meet the front line. Men who are going through times shook to their feet. Sometimes look like the whole thing's falling. But yet in the midst of it all, they know that living God and keep their face forward, keep moving on. That's the way God trains men. Praise God. What for? Body. Guards. When God gets ready to do something in the supernatural realm, He usually gets a man that He can put His trust in and anoints him and sends him out, and he's fearless at the job. That's the kind of men we need today. Not polished scholars, but men who know God in the power of His resurrection. So just in case you get sick along the way, they don't pop Tylenol. They don't keep the pockets full of lower tabs where they have to have them themselves. They lay hands on you. You get down discouraged, they preach you into victory. God called men. You're in the nighttime, little bride. You're in the nighttime, little Shulamite. You're going to face trouble. You're going to face difficulty. You need men of valor. You need men of courage. You need men who've been down so when you're down, they can help you up. Courage. God don't want cowards. He can't use you if you're afraid to take His word and believe Him. He wants gallant men. Won't pay no attention to nothing but what the Lord says. That's the kind He has to move with. Regardless of what the church says. Amen. What the pastor says. What the church stands for. He stands for God and righteousness and His word. That's the man God will send these days for His revival that His people are praying for. Not little men. Not big men. Not fat men. Not skinny men. God called men. God called men. Let me find a place to close. Can I have a few more minutes? Notice this in the Evening Messenger. Therefore, when God sent forth His prophets, His messengers of the Testament, He spoke to one man. They say, there you go, Brother Donnie. There I go. Now you come with me. He spoke to one man, and that man had to bring the message. Now I said amen to that. Can you say amen to this? Others went from Him everywhere bringing the same message. Others went from Him bringing the same message. Solomon said, go get my bride. These 60 men said, we're going to get his bride. What were they doing? Saying what Solomon said. You watch over my bride. What are you all doing watching over his bride? If she gets hungry, feed her. What are you all doing? If she gets hungry, we feed her. They're saying what he said. This is what's always got me in trouble. My ears are being around the message. Saying what he said. Just say what he said. I heard that when I first come in. I hear it today, and it makes me sick in my stomach. A bunch of these hypocrites that say it don't believe what they're quoting. He spoke to one man, and that man had to bring the message, and others went from him. Everywhere bringing the same message, but there had to be one headquarters. How you going, Brother Donnie? Careful. Don't say amen too loud. When I read the rest of this, you'll be quiet and everybody will know what you believe. There had to be one headquarters. God has always had it. I'm thankful he's got it tonight. That's the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost, of course, we all know. Now, not some group, but the Holy Spirit is God's headquarters. That's God's messenger of the hour. Let me close. Now, I want to say I believe in leadership. But it's not the leadership of men I believe in. I believe in the leadership of the Holy Ghost coming through the Word. Now don't you stop reading right there, you sneaky snake. I believe also that God has set men in the church who are gifted by the Spirit. And they will keep the church in order, I believe. Oh my. I believe that. I believe also that the church is ruled over by men that God sends to take charge. But that rule is by the Word, so that it is not men really ruling, but the Spirit of God. For the Word and Spirit are one. One of the most famous scriptures in the message is Hebrews 13:8. Probably very few people know Hebrews 13:7. But I'm going to read it to you. Remember them which have the rule over you. And rule is to be governor, to be a leader, command, to have authority, a prince, regal power, chief, overseers, or leaders of the churches. Remember them which have the rule over you who have spoken unto... Oh, man... Paul, why'd you have to say that now? Spoken? Spoken? He didn't say placon. They didn't placon it, they spoken it. I don't care how much you quote Hebrews 13:8. If you don't believe verse 7, you're an unbeliever. Or a make-believer, which is worse. You can't really believe verse 8 unless you believe verse 7 and lead into it. Oh my. Remember them who have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Now listen at the end of the conversation of these true men of God. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Isn't that beautiful? In every age you have exactly the same pattern. That is why the light comes through some God-given messenger in a certain area. Then from that messenger, there spreads the light through the ministry of others who have been faithfully taught. These guys make excellent bodyguards.
Yes, sir. That's right.
Now you see, we may get to it in the morning, but just as he started defining to her and describing her beauty and character, we get up to it maybe tomorrow. Chapter 4 is the wedding night. Now her understanding of him and her understanding of herself is still very simple and very shallow. So he uses terms by which she can relate, more of a pastoral type of understanding. So he uses birds and trees and plants and odoriferous shrubs and fragrances and things like that, which I might say that a shepherd wouldn't even probably ever smell of, a shepherd boy. But this is a king. But as they get, once they become married, you find him as he goes on, he's able to start talking to her in more royal terms, and she can answer him back in royal terms. But on their wedding night, when he goes to describing her and her beauty, so overcome by her eyes and her hair and her teeth and the different things about her, and then he describes her as a garden, and he says that she's an orchard of pomegranates and camphor, different things that he describes, calamus. You know, the pomegranates, there's many different subspecies of the pomegranate. Many different kinds actually grow in Palestine. Some are quite large, some are medium, some are small. Some are more of a flush colored pink. Some are more of the color of Brother Reese's shirt. Some darker, Brother Jimmy's sweater. So there's a variety in the bride's identity when he looks and sees that she is a garden. So she is a garden, and she has all these different plants, and he calls them by name, but in there is a diversity of size and gift and so on. No doubt these 60 men, there were some men that were quite large in size. And there might have been some that wasn't as big, but they were still as valiant. It's the same in the body of God today. We've got men of God on the field and men of God that are pastoring churches, and they've got, as we'd say, big names. And we've got others that their names may not be as big. That don't mean they're not as important to God. What are they all called to do? If they are God called men, they are called to escort this bride safely back to Jerusalem. Ladies and gentlemen, I count it an honor to be one of your bodyguards. What about it, brothers? You preachers? Do we count it an honor? Brother David? Do we count it an honor? Can we draw our sword as great as Brother Tim Pruitt or this brother or that brother? No, I don't pretend to. But I do want to be as valiant as I can be with what I've been gifted with. I was sitting down today in my study where I sat and studying in a room I have down there. And there's a coffee table I have there that's made out of oak. And I built it, oh my, probably 35 years ago, maybe, something like that. I built it out of 1x4 oak, the top boards. The side ones I built out of 1x2s. I sat there looking at it today, and as I looked at it, and I looked at my miter cuts, Brother Terry, and they wasn't really good. They wasn't very good at all, as a matter of fact. And I thought, why am I still got this thing sitting here for? Now, over to my right, I looked at an entertainment center that I built for Carol a year or so ago. It's about 12 feet long. The tallest part up in the middle is probably 9.5 feet tall. It has doors and all kinds of things in it, two different depths. I've got my speakers in one part of it, and one speaker's about this deep, but yet it has bookshelves on it, so it has all kinds of ornate things on it, all kinds. And I just looked at that table, and then I looked at that, and then I looked at that table. This has a gigantic big door on it with a picture frame on it. It looks like a picture, and I put gas shocks on it so you raise that thing up. And, you know, it's pretty unique. And I looked at that, and I thought, that's like us. When we start out and our gaps are pretty wide. Thank God for wood filler. And then I didn't have no router, so I couldn't route anything. So it's just a, you know, it's a 3/4 inch stock oak. So it's just a flat 3/4 inch piece of oak across the top. Yeah, looking at this other piece, there was all kinds of oak veneer that come out of the ground, out of an oak tree that was real gnarled and twisted and all that. And I put it together and made a face in it, a book face, they call it. And, you know, it's quite extensive bunch of work. The very same man that made that. But with years and years of experience and mistakes and throwing away pieces where you mess it up. Then this turns into that. And I thought, now why couldn't that been first? That's what we want as Christians, ain't it? We want to be this grown up, mature type of child of God that is so ornate and just, oh my goodness, you know, I built this thing and put it together. It's a gigantic big old piece. And I actually, whenever I put it together and set it in the house, I brought Scotty, my son-in-law, over because it's got a fireplace in the bottom of it. So I slide the fireplace out and here's this open thing. So I've got screws all on the inside where I've got it all put together and I've painted them all a different color. So I said, Scotty, if anything ever happens to me, I need to show you this because you'll never figure this thing out how to get it apart. Oh, it's quite complicated. And you look at us here tonight, and many of our lives and the things about us were quite complicated. And yet when we started out, it was so simple, and our things, our understanding of God, our walk with God, many things were so far apart. But look at where we are tonight. Oh, praise God. God, by His grace and miter saws. Now I've got a compound miter saw, and I can make a pretty good cut now. I don't need no filler. I don't need no filler. Was it because the wood was better? It was my understanding. It was my understanding. I had to read this Bible and I was baptized in titles. I used to read this Bible and preach from it and preaching eternal hell. Preach tongues was the evidence of the Holy Ghost. But I don't preach that no more. I get a new Bible, I got new eyes. Glory to God. Amen. You understand? So what are we, friends? We're going along, and these guards, don't worry, oh, I'm afraid I'll say something wrong. We all say something wrong. We all are learning as we go. These guards are learning as we go. But they will get you there safely. Believe me, if God wanted to, He could have chose 60 presidents, 60 mayors, 60 governors, 60 deacons, 60 song leaders, 60 organ players, 60 drummers. But He chose valiant men. Body guards. Really, who would you rather watch over you? A mayor who wouldn't want to get his hands dirty? Or a valiant man that when he sees the enemy approaching... Praise God. I'm going to tell you one thing. I count it an honor as I stand here tonight. If I die on this pulpit and never preach another sermon, I count it an honor to have friends, men of God, that I believe are of this caliber that I've preached to you tonight, that are my friends. Now, if there's any midgets in that group, that's probably me. There's any little old guys that, you know, just run around, don't know what they're doing, that's probably me. But at least I'm in. Praise God. I ain't smart. I ain't handsome. I ain't a lot of things. But there's one thing I do have. Courage. I will stand for Him and His Word if I have to stand by myself. I've stood by myself on many principles, and you know it. And other people thought we was crazy for things that we preached. But I stood because I felt like God told me to do it. So you don't have to be the richest, the prettiest, the smartest, the most handsome. Just let God use you. Let God use you. Listen, Otter Bride. You've got it made. You folks have got it made. You read your Bible a little bit, come in here on Saturday night, pile up in here. God has laid it on me or somebody's preacher's heart. Brother David preaching next week and me going up to Virginia. He told me he's the last week, ain't hardly been out of the house, studying, praying, seeking God for next weekend. Why? So y'all can pile up and eat. You're blessed. You're royal. You might as well enjoy it. Praise God. Don't you love him? Oh my. To be honest with you, my only fear is that we will eat so good and eat so much that it'll be so common to us we won't realize how well he provides. Let's not take it for granted. Let's be grateful for every meal, every spanking we get. If one of these guards seeing you step out of line, you better believe they love you. And they will tell you, now sis, you should not do that. You should not wear that. You should not do this, brother. This is not becoming of you as a Christian. Because they love you. Praise God. Let's pray together. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you tonight, Father. Of all the different things that I could have been in life, you've gifted me with several things that I can do, Lord. Maybe I could have been a cabinet maker and maybe been a stonemason or been different things of life. Any of those things would have been a good vocation, but I could have no higher honor than to be a bodyguard for the bride. I'm not sent to the whole world, Lord, I know that. My first duty is here to the church here. Then if you put it on my heart to go out here and there sometimes, and Lord, for those who'll stream the service and maybe be a blessing to them. But Lord, I take it serious. I want to be about your business, Father. Lord Jesus, if you need to send somebody down to get a drink, you know me. I don't need a whole entourage. I don't need everybody and the brother standing behind me cheering me on. If you need somebody to run down by themselves, I'll do it. If you need me and two or three more, we got way more than enough here to handle it. If that's what you want us to do. We just want to be what you want, Lord. We're not interested in building kingdoms. We're not interested in building cisterns off of the mainstream and try to damming it up and make the people come drink from us. I know I don't know too much, but there's one thing I know for sure. You don't want a man who has kingdom building in mind as a bodyguard. No telling what he'll do. But you want men who are valiant in war. Men who can keep rank. And men who don't have a double heart. Lord Jesus, search my heart tonight once again, Father. See if there's anything in me, Lord, that would be double in any way. If there's anything, Lord, about me that displeases you, let me see it, Father, so I can make it right. Don't limit that just to me only, Lord, but may you search every heart in this building and those that are here this service. In their own way, Lord, they're valiant too. Oh, maybe not called to protect the bride so much in that capacity as a minister, but they're your children, so they're part of the army of God. May they keep their rank. May the sisters find theirs, the deacons get in theirs, the song leader, the musicians, each of us, we get in our rank and we stay there. And we have one heart, one goal, one motive. I believe that these men that were hand-chosen by Solomon, which were his friends, it's possible that some of them were even carryovers from David's day. We know that there were some that still live from one to the other. Sure, we could have asked either of those 60 what their goal was, their motive, their objective. They might have all said it in a different way. But it would have all, the bottom line, been the same thing. Some of them may have been Gentiles and they would have said it in a more peculiar way maybe than the Hebrews. But their goal was the same, the motive was the same, the objective was the same. Get the bride back home and make sure she's a virgin. Make sure she's not manhandled. Make sure she's pure for the king.
Praise God. I believe every true God called man has that same thing today, Lord. Oh, we've got them around our ranks. They're not God called men. They want followers for themselves. They're kingdom builders. No true man that's full of the Holy Ghost could ever be a lasting kingdom builder. It's contrary to the nature of the Holy Ghost to be a kingdom builder. Lord, may the saints realize it's not just so with preachers, but lay folks can be kingdom builders too. They get a little following in the church and then they cause trouble here and trouble there. May we realize, Father, we're not called to be kingdom builders. May every preacher here, Lord, I pray we never have a one that ever wants to raise up his own church out of here and try to cause a big split and this and that and the other. I pray, Lord, every preacher here, his motive, his objective, his desire will be the same as mine. And that is to get the bride home safely. Praise God. We love you, Lord Jesus. Praise God. Oh, we love you, Lord. How many loves him tonight with all your heart? Hey, let's sing, Come Away. You love him with all your heart? Aren't you glad God's giving you a palanquin? A place of rest? You look over here and you see silver columns. Silver speaks of redemption. At your feet is gold, which speaks of deity. You look above you. Here's the purple or the scarlet, the tapestry being overhung on the top. So you're crowned with purple, which is royalty again. And you've got these men that's around you. They're guarding you in the night. He sent all kinds of food, water, everything you'd need to safely transport you. Children, you will be so ready when you leave this world in the moment of the rapture. Think of it. One day you'll get up. You'll be as ordinary, normal, mortal as you are right now. Might have had a bad night, didn't sleep good. Maybe you got a doctor's appointment, something you're facing on the job, you're really dreading it. Some kind of exam at school, some of you young people. And it starts out as a normal day. You get up, you go into the bathroom, you brush your teeth, start combing your hair, getting ready for school, work, whatever it is. And all of a sudden you look in the mirror and there's your mama standing behind you. And she's younger than you are. Or your daddy or your grandpa or somebody here at the church you went to church with. And you know it won't be long. You're going to be changed. Now think of it. Leaving this hell of Laodicea. In a moment of time, our bodies will be changed. This word would have brought you to such a state of completion. You'll go straight from here into the paradise of God. You'll need no supplement school along the way to help your character and polish this and polish that. You'll go straight from here, straight to the streets of God. Only God could do such a thing. Do you believe it? God has provided everything you have need of. Praise God. Praise God. Oh, Jesus. Now let's just, as we're going to sing this song together. You're on your palanquin. You're covered with all these beautiful garments that he sent to your house. You know that that's the way the bridegroom would do. The bridegroom would go and buy you this beautiful wedding garment as he could afford to do. He would send you the jewels, the crown, the rings, the necklaces, and so on. He would send that to your house. These guards brought these clothes with them. You went in and dressed and came out. Here's the guards all around you. The frankincense and the myrrh is being offered. Great clouds of smoke are coming up. You look like the tabernacle in the wilderness. Glory to God. And you are in the inner sanctum in behind the veil. And Solomon, glory to God, has sent all this to you. In a moment, you'll be changed. The prophet said, think of it, missing people. They can't find you no more.
but you come up missing on the earth. So all of a sudden you vanish and you're missing, but you're still here. Missing on the earth, and they can't find you no more. That's a big thing, ain't it? Demons, sickness, all kinds of things, they can't find you no more. Which way did he go? There he was, and he's gone. You're getting together with the rest of the group. And then in a moment, we'll be changed. Glory to God. He won't come down to the earth and set his feet on the earth. Neither will we meet him there. But we'll meet in the middle. As Shulamite and Solomon met in between her home and his home. And think of it. Would be young men and young women. Amen. Glory to God. And glorified bodies with eternal life. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. The table's dressed in linen. A banquet is prepared. A host of angels gathered for the celebration there. The bride is almost ready in spotless white array. A hush falls over heaven as the groom begins to say, come away. Before you came to me, I carried that love with me all the way to Calvary. Though it wasn't over when they laid me in the tomb, I proved my love. Glory! I rose again for you. Come away. Your name, Lord God, I could give to you my name. Eternity oasis, come away. Let's sing it together now with all of our hearts. Let's raise our hands in His presence. Come away. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Well, let's just bow our heads for just a moment. Let's just raise our hands in the presence of the King. Could we ever consider ourselves worthy
of such? Could we ever think ourselves or deem ourselves remotely worthy of all that He's given? If He never answers another prayer for you, if you never feel Him again, if He makes you walk by faith the rest of your journey, He's already given you more than you deserve. Oh, praise God, but I've just got a feeling the best is yet to come. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Sing, I bowed on my knees and I cried, holy. You imagine what it's going to be, my precious friends. When we gather there together, there'll be no old age. We'll never get tired. We'll never have to leave and go home and rest a while and say, well, we'll see y'all in the morning. I don't know about y'all, but I'm tired, and we'll come back in the morning and we'll go again. And nobody will ever be tired. Think of it. Of all the millions of people that are there, nobody will ever do this. Nobody will ever be angry. Wow. Nobody will ever get upset. Nobody will be mad. No, none of that will ever be there. What a place. Don't you want to go? Don't you want to be there? My. Oh, my. I dreamed of a city called holy. So bright and so fair. Let's just sing it now. When I enter the gates, I cried, holy. The angels all met me there. They showed me from mansion to mansion. Oh, yes, Lord. What do you want to see? I want to see Jesus, the one who died. Oh, yes. Let's sing it now, everybody. Whoa. Friends, which is you, all knew me well. Oh yes, Lord Jesus, thank God. They showed me all to heaven. Thank God. The scenes were too many. Isaac and Jacob, praise God. There was Mark, Luke, and Tim.
to give praise. Amen. To the one, to that blessed one who died for me. Let's sing it now with all of our hearts. Safely, Lord, we'll ride on your palanquin, oh God. Your guards will protect us. They'll feed us when we're hungry. They'll give us thirst, Lord, drink when we're thirsty. Amen. If they see anything in our lives, they'll preach the word to us, Lord. And sing glory. Oh, hallelujah. Glory to the Son. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Me and Brother Tim and Brother Jason Watkins was talking about this week in text. Brother Tim said, Brother Donnie, I want to be standing near whenever they call your name. The Lord Jesus calls for you and Carol to come up. He goes to rewarding you for what you've done. I said, Brother Tim, I don't want no reward. I just want to see him. If I can just see him. Don't talk to me, no robe and no crown and no. Oh my goodness. All the lonely nights, all the hours of studying on this journey so you can be provided for. And the days after I preach when I beat myself up, and the weeks in preparation. The sarcasm that I get, the texts and the emails and criticism and whatever more. All of that, oh my. All of that, what will that be compared to when his eyes will look at me? I've felt him since I was a child. I've heard him speak to me in my spirit and audibly. I've seen angels, angelic beings, even seen myself a few times as a young man. But oh, to get to see him. But Scott, it'll be worth it all. Won't it, saints? I can't relate to streets of gold myself. Maybe you can. Gates of pearl, walls of jasper, all that sort of thing to me. You know what? If heaven was just kind of like Tennessee with no sin and no death and no suffering, just beautiful trees and hillsides and gardens and flowers, and but Jesus was here, I can handle that. I have no problem with that. Take the gold and whatever more. I mean, I love Tennessee. I love, you know, different parts of the world. It's, if Jesus is there and there's beautiful gardens and paradise, that's where it brought man in the first place. I could go back to that again. Think of it, friends. He loves you so much. He's bringing you and he's coming back himself to your home. To your home. He don't want you missing mama. So he's bringing you back here to live with you. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, do you love him? Let's just raise our hands once more before we go. But Donnie, why do you have us praise him so much? I just feel like he deserves it so much. I just feel like he deserves it and he wants it.
Where do we get into it in the morning? If you could just see what it means to him. For you to love him back. If you could just see what it does to him. For you to praise him and love him and worship him. It overwhelms him when you do. I know it seems feeble, but to him, it's so wonderful. We worship you, Lord Jesus. We bless your name, Lord God. We need to overcome our thinking, Lord. We need to overcome tradition. Overcome us thinking we're no count and no good. Sure, as far as that, by the natural birth, we're not. But you've made us worthy. You have redeemed us. You have called us. No doubt all the way home, the Shulamite is overcoming her birth, overcoming her past, overcoming who she thinks she is, and overcoming thinking she's not worthy. She won't know how to act. She won't know how to talk. If we would think about that, how can we go from this earth and in seconds time walk down the streets and be the celebrity of heaven? When the angels themselves, when Jesus Christ introduces us to angelic beings and said, "This is my wife." And the angels bow, as it were, to us glorified mortals. And the angels hold their breath in all of us. How can we comprehend such a thing, Lord? But yet it is true. Change our thinking. Help us to overcome us. For that is truly our greatest enemy. Oh, Jesus. I love you, Father. I love you, Father. You know my heart tonight. I'm not saying this just in front of the people. I don't do what I do for any reward. Anything I've ever done, anything, but person I've ever helped, I've done it out of love in my heart to you. But if I get there that day and my reward is so small because my abilities are so few. But Lord Jesus, to be with you and to see you and to be with your people for eternity, what more reward could I ask for? Praise God. Praise God. We love you, Jesus. Sing something for us, Hannah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We worship you, Lord. You're worthy, Father. We bless you.
For he is whole.
Yes, Lord Jesus.
Jesus is whole.
Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's sing it together. Hallelujah. Our voices to him. Holy, holy, holy. Hallelujah, Lord God. Everybody. Father, we love you tonight. Thank you for your word. I pray, Lord, something was said that'd be a blessing and a help to your little children. Give us strength and courage. Bring us back in the morning if it be pleasing to you, Lord. Maybe once again hear from the voice of God. Hallelujah. As you were speaking to us as we are laying back in the palanquin of our Solomon. Thank you, Jesus. I thank you forever, mighty man, that you have, Lord. Bless them. Encourage them. Strengthen them, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. And the church said,
amen.
The Hebrew says it this way, Shali Shamoa. Shali Gilboa. Solomon's 60 men. Solomon's 60 men. God bless you, saints. Brother Donnie, what if something ever happens to you? Don't worry. God will have another one to come. And if something happens to him, he'll have another one. And another one. And another one. God's got men that'll keep running out till the bride's journey is finished. And then we'll stand together and laugh. I hope you understand it. I hope you already like me. Because you're going to be identified with me through eternity. We're going to be identified in Brother Branham's age. The folks who hate him in this age, don't worry. They won't be there in the first place. You're going to fit in this age. You don't fit in Paul's age. This is your age. God bless you, saints. Service in the morning. Let's come expecting the Lord to speak to us. I just have a feeling that he will. God bless you. Amen. Ain't it been good to be in the house of the Lord? Praise be to God. Amen. Everybody will be happy, will be happy over there. Oh, we will shout and sing God's praise. And kept us by his grace, who brought us to that land so bright and fair. We will praise his name forever as we look upon his face. Everybody will be happy over there.
Thank you.
Jesus.